All right, welcome to the RSP Cast. I'm Matt Walden with the Rookie Scouting Portfolio, and today is going to be officially my first fantasy football podcast. I know that I've been doing podcasts that have some fantasy implications, and I'm very grateful to all the fantasy GMs and fantasy players who really enjoy the work that's been on the RSP Cast and the feedback that we've gotten. But when it was time to bring on the first fantasy football guest, I mean, like really officially the first fantasy football guest, you know, I'm very fortunate because I work at footballguys.com and have a number of people that I could choose who are all very deserving of, you know, getting a lot of attention. But there's one guy that I just think that, you know, when I look at the fact that from 2010 to 2014, he was the most accurate with rankings and projections at Fantasy Pros before Football Guys decided to just take their projections and keep them in house. And Football Guys has always been known for having, you know, really strong projections. We've had, you know, three or four guys who've been consistently in the top 10 for years when, you know, being graded and ranked in this fashion. But this guy, you know, for a 5-year period was the number one guy. And that wasn't, you know, some fluke type of a thing, because he's been doing this for 26 years. He's a 3-time Fantasy Index Experts Poll winner. You know, and I'm sure that he is probably one of the top 2 to 3 guys who's been doing that for, you know, over 20 years, which is a competitive, you know, which is a competitive type of league poll format with some of the founding members of, you know, the fantasy football community who have been doing work. And, you know, then on top of that, this is a guy who, you know, also did the Fantasy Pro Forecast Magazine expert poll, and he's won a couple of those. And he's the founder of what is known as RedEyeSports.com. Some of you may not know of it because you're newbies listening to this, but if you started fantasy football in the early days, you know, this guy and John Norton, who also works at Football Guys, who's one of our IDP writers, you know, he really, you know, these two really focused on proliferating several advanced fantasy football concepts that weren't common at the time back in 1999. I mean, I'm talking about individual defensive players, dynasty, salary cap, franchise and franchise transition tags. I mean, these were things he really created the blueprint for these types of leagues. I remember reading his work back in the late 90s and seeing him on Football Guys and really digging some of the stuff that he did, to the point that I remember creating a league myself that had fluctuating salary amounts based on values, you know, basically every week, and doing different things with cap, and his work inspiring me on that level. You know, this guy is, you know, probably one of my favorite people at Football Guys. And there's a lot of great people there, but in terms of just the recognition that he deserves for the projections that he's done, the rankings that he does, we have a great product in the Draft Dominator. And he, along with Jason Wood, David Dodds, Marl Tremblay, they're the organs for just a fantastic skeleton that Simon Shepherd has brilliantly put together for people to dominate their leagues. And that man right here is none other than Houston Oiler Ken Burton. No, I mean, Bob Henry with footballguys.com. Bob, it's a pleasure and an honor to have you on this show with me, where we're going to talk a little bit about projections today.
Wow, thanks, Matt. The pleasure's all mine. I really don't know what to say to that, but appreciate all the nice things, and it's great to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you. And, you know, I don't take this lightly, because we have a lot of great people in this industry. But, you know, I was talking to Matt Bitonti last week, and I was singing your praises last week because of the fact that, you know, as you see, I mean, Bob's probably, you know, you'll see Bob probably every Saturday on Twitter answering fantasy questions during the week. And he used to do the sleepers column at Football Guys back in the day, where Football Guys was really experiencing tremendous amount of growth. And, you know, he's always been a big engine for that. And one of the things that we're going to talk about with today is just, really, I wanted to get into share, you know, kind of Bob's process about projections and how you go about doing that, because this show's a lot about craft. You know, how do you create the things that you do? What is it that people should look at? How do they learn, you know, not just here's the fish, but learning how to fish. So Bob, if you would, what are some of the basic guidelines behind good projections that anyone interested in doing their own should know?
That's a great question, Matt. You know, I think probably the first thing I really do is just kind of build the model, build the spreadsheet. You know, it starts with, of course, in Excel, like what everybody does across the industry, I'm sure. But, you know, over the years, I've kind of built my own spreadsheet template that I use from year to year. And even if it's just to have a lot of data on hand that's easily referenceable, so when you're going through your teams and so forth, you can really just comb through the stuff and look at it from an analysis perspective. But, you know, one of the first things I do every year is build out a new tab in that spreadsheet, which is looking at the last 5 years league data. So, you know, all the offensive data, all the defensive data, and kind of building that out and doing some sort of manipulation of that. So I can see some things that I want to see as far as trends and year to year themes and averages. But really what it does is it lets you look at things but from a team by team or across a league. And usually over the last 5 years, sometimes I've done less or more, but you start looking at the league norms. So, you know, when you're projecting something, it's realistic. You get a sense for teams' performances, trends. And it all starts with simple things that we all, you know, anybody that watches football or really understands football and loves football, really is in tune with things like the pace of the game, how many total plays a team runs or can be expected to run, run pass ratios, even sacks or turnover margins, how many defensive plays they give up or allow the other teams to have. So you can look at things like net plays, net yards, you know, a lot of those types of data points. And, you know, once you build out that model, then you have something like a construct that you can start looking at teams individually. And that's where you really get into, you know, a lot of very specifics. And you need to take into consideration, obviously, coaching changes, you know, talent changes and player changes, of course. But even coaches, what kind of tendencies do they have for play calling? Do they typically run a high pace or slow pace game? You know, did their previous level of talent influence that or impact it in any way? Or is there clear trends from team to team or year over year in how they call a game or how they manage a team? So you can even look at things like what positions they favor as far as target distribution or red zone tendencies. Do they typically use a running back committee or have a bell cow? Or, you know, how do they split up those rushing attempts from year to year or across different teams? And again, sometimes you'll see similarities there. Sometimes you'll see wild differences. But, you know, if you have an Adrian Peterson, that might impact things, or a LaDainian Thomas, mm-hmm. something like that. You're probably not going to have a big committee if you have a talent of that magnitude. You know, and from there, it's really just building out each team and position by position, looking at things and comparing them back to previous teams, and you know, at the end of the day, everything has to zero out. That's what I kind of call it. And obviously your receptions have to match your completions and very, really simple stuff like that. But I look at it and start looking at the league averages and trends across the positions, making sure that the distribution across positions looks right as far as ADP. Make sure they're somewhat normalized. And I mean, you have to also consider the projections are going to vary from actual performance data from the year before, because you look at some positions like quarterback, you know, just injuries happen. That changes the distribution curve from top to bottom quite drastically from what you might see in a set of projections. But yeah, I look at all that kind of stuff you know, I even get into some, into my model, looking at defensive plays in terms of, like I said, net plays, net yards, net points, and making sure all that kind of stuff zeros out. So at the end of the day, across the league, I am projecting the same amount of plays, offensive and defensive wise, and that all balances out. So that's kind of the construct.
Yeah, and I like how you, I mean, one of the things that it sounds like you emphasize for sure is trends from year to year overall, kind of a macro look at the league. And what are... is there anything that recently that has changed over the past, you know, 5 years from a macro standpoint that you know, that's notable to you when you were doing projections this year or in the past, in recent years?
Well, you know, David Dodds and I talked a lot about this. It was probably several years ago now. The time flies. But, you know, when the Patriots, you know, they've been known to be pretty much a trendsetter. It's a copycat league. So, you know, when they had the Gronk and Hernandez offense, you saw other teams kind of starting to copycat that. So you maybe across the league, you might have seen a little bit more tight end production in any, you know, even just obvious things like run pass ratios is the league has morphed a bit due to rule changes or even things like concussions and stuff like that. You know, you'll definitely see some slight changes or trends. Although that being said, in the last few years, it seems like it almost corrects itself to some degree. So there's always fluctuations, and it's not like there's a specific trend that keeps going. At some point, it kind of reverses. I think last year we kind of saw a reverse in the sense that it was like the renaissance or resurgence of the running backs and, you know, the importance they play in fantasy football. Whereas we know, you know, the NFL's kind of taking a different approach to that. And we see that with Le'Veon Bell right now in terms of not paying those players or having a premium on them in the draft. But I think in general, you just got to kind of look at that stuff and expect things to maybe counter or kind of correct itself over times. But in general, you know, I think there is certainly maybe a little more pass or a little more plays overall. And we're not talking much. You know, if it moves from 65 plays to 66 plays, that's still a little bit of a movement. Or, you know, if the average run to pass ratio moves by a percent or two over a couple of years, that can be a pretty big change. But usually things are pretty well within their norms. And you know, when you're doing your data or your projections and you start comparing your overall projection set against the league norms, if you're off by 2 or 3%, that's a pretty big miss. So you got to kind of correct that a little bit and go back and look at where you could be over or under projecting for any given player or team and the scenarios around that.
So speaking of that, what are the other common rabbit holes that you don't want to recommend to anyone who's going to, you know, start projecting players on their own?
Well, I didn't even think about this in preparing notes or anything, but you know, it just popped in my head, and I heard somebody else talking about it the other day. One staple of mine, quite frankly, is I never do rankings until I've done projections. And the reason I don't do that, and there's a second part of that, I don't sort rank my projections as I go through it. I wait until I'm done with every single team and player, and then go back and look at it. And I'm like, wow, I had that player a bit higher than I would have ever anticipated. Or, you know, there's some aha moments, and that's where you start reexamining and even listening to other people like yourself or other experts and analysts, look at other data sets to really, you know, rethink your positions. But so that's maybe one thing. I don't know if that's a rabbit hole, but the rabbit hole is I would not do rankings or start sort ranking halfway through projections. And it's almost like leading the witness. You just go through the process and trust it, and then start looking at the data norms, making sure you're not too high or too low overall in the macro level, and that kind of thing. But, you know, I don't know maybe if this is a rabbit hole or not, but, you know, one thing that I do that might go against the grain in the industry is I do consider injury history or proclivity towards injury. And that's not to say anyone is injury prone. We know and love that term, right?
Right.
Generally, all players are injury prone. It's football. People are going to get hurt, and it's just a matter of time, not if. And but there are some players, obviously, that are more snake bitten or struggle to stay healthy, whether it's bad luck or simply they're just more plagued by soft tissue injuries, and some things like that. I will say that I do pay a little bit more attention, particularly with some of the trends in the NFL lately. You might even think of it as an existential threat to the league of concussions and CTE.
Yes.
And you know, that whole storyline is quite concerning. So, you know, the NFL takes that super seriously. And if I see a player that's had maybe 3 or 4 concussions in the last year or two, I definitely dock them a little bit in their stats and projections, because You know, everybody's going to get hit in the NFL. It's just a matter of when, you know, how long before you get concussed. And you know, I for that reason, I probably own Jordan Reed once in my entire career, just right. because I just don't, you know, I wasn't a fan of Jordan Cameron, of guys like that. I mean, those are extreme cases, but yeah, I mean, I think we had a conversation on that within kind of our staff chats around Marquise Goodwin. It's something I completely overlooked when I initially did my projections. I've been very high on him, considering his hot finish last year, and that he played hurt. And then I started thinking, yeah, he did play hurt. And he did play through, he kind of played through a concussion, but he did have a concussion and he's had a few of them. I'm like, man, for a little guy, that's quite concerning because, you know, obviously things can undo a player, like hamstring injuries, things like that. But concussions are something that are a little bit more resolute and something I look at a little bit differently as far as injuries go. You know, the other thing, maybe again, rabbit holes, but, you know, don't be fixated by what they did last year. That's kind of obvious. It's like the stock market, you know, past performance does not indicate future performance. So be courageous, you know, just be courageous. Look at teams, players, changes on those teams. Even look at the divisions, you know, changes within the division as far as personnel, coaches, things like that. The cross-conference schedule is something I always consider because, you know, if you go from playing one division to a different division, that can have a pretty big swing on the difficulty that the teams in that division are going to face when you look at that from a scheduling perspective. Overall, I don't really get into SOS, the strength of schedule, much because there's so much variability in that from year to year. But if you look at, you know, the division play and the cross-conference schedule, that's what 75% of the schedule. So that's at least the part I look at in at some level. Not to put a huge amount of emphasis on it, but it's just another lens to look at. You know, and like I said, just take a stance on players. Don't be afraid to project them outside of their range the last 2 years, particularly if you get a sense that a team's on the verge of a collapse or breakout. I don't think too many people had the Rams like totally breaking out the way that they did last year. But I mean, I'm going back to even like years when you could really sense the Patriots were on the verge of something, doing something really special or interesting, you know, with Randy Moss and folks like that. They just have gone through years where they've amassed some really special level of talents across that offense. And then you see players like Tom Brady going for, you know, prolific numbers, 50 touchdowns and things like that, or even Peyton Manning with the Broncos. You could sense a little bit of that coming. Of course, you're never going to project 50 touchdowns, but don't be afraid to project 38 or 40 either. You'll get ridiculed for it, but you know, take a stance, stick your neck out, and just make sure you're following, you know, some of the data and analysis, and that you can back it up.
I think that I love how you talked about that, because I can relate to that as someone who does rankings of rookies, and how that it's about following your process and staying true to it. Because whether it's projections, you know, rankings, you know, player evaluation, dating, marriage, life, whatever it is, if you don't develop your own inner compass, then you're always going to be lost, you know, and you have to learn how to develop that compass enough so that it's strong enough to that when, you know, the winds are blowing, you know, and usually the winds blowing in our industry are big names talking, you know, and all that hot air that comes out of all of us, you know, and those are the winds that are blowing, you know. And so if you have somebody who tips the needle with their take about something, you know, everyone kind of moves in that direction. Sometimes you get that herd mentality, and especially when it comes to readers, because they're looking for folks to provide them information, and they're looking for the right answers oftentimes. And, you know, you can get that kind of ridicule from time to time, but if you don't develop your own inner voice and inner process of doing things, and you don't trust it enough, then you're never going to know what lessons you need to learn or don't learn. And it sounds like that, you know, that's something that you obviously follow, you know, very well.
I mean, I try to. I've been ridiculed many times over the years, and you know, I've been wrong as much as I've been right. Everybody is in this industry. But you know, sometimes you you just go with your gut. And as long as you have some reasonable analysis that can go behind that and you can back it up, people follow you. And after the year, you get all these emails or tweets like, man, I'm so glad I listened to your other coach. Hey, thanks for that Tyrone Calico tip. You know, man, he was sweet. That worked out great. I'm like, yeah, you know, thank you. those happen too. So, you know, you got to go with the flow. You're not always right, but it's fun to be outside the norm sometimes too.
Yeah. But I would say, you know, based on your intro, you tend to get more right than most people do. So, you know, I'm going to keep reminding people of that. And I don't have to tell anyone how much fun this podcast was, Bob. You can follow Bob Henry on Twitter at Bob Henry. Definitely check out his work at Football Guys. I would seriously recommend you look at the Draft Dominator, the great work that he contributed to that, along with the likes of Jason Wood, Bob Henry, Simon Shepherd, and David Dodds and the rest of the staff. And again, thank you for listening to the RSP cast. I definitely appreciate all the feedback that you guys have given to rate and review this podcast. If you haven't done so and you like it, I definitely recommend that you do. And I would appreciate any feedback really that you do have to give. And you can check out more of the RSP cast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Google Play. Until next time, thank you again.